Hello, everyone. How are you all doing? Come on in, sit on down. It's another live Q&A. That's right. It's a Wednesday evening for me. It's a little bit earlier than usual. It's 8:20. I'm running late, actually. I set this for 8:15. But I, if you can't tell, I'm very under the weather. Yeah. I've been battling block sinuses, shivers, the rest of it, you know, a cough, a runny nose. I have a cold. That's just classically understood. And yeah, I know all about terrain and the rest of it, so you don't have to tell me, as conspiracy theorists, what isn't the right way to deal with this. But I'm running a bit late, because I basically had to just deal with some decongestions to kick in. So they have. I'm feeling better now. I'm feeling like I can actually do this. I'm sorry if I'm a bit bunged up for my audio only out there. Maybe this makes my voice sound a little bit more sultry, a bit deeper, you know, a bit more ASMR in nature. Sorry, biblically based, if you're listening. I don't mean to offend you with that one. But yeah, I'm here anyway, because I kind of have to be. Something happened recently, just this Sunday. I did a Sunday live show. It was a special show. I didn't do my usual truth or therapy session like I do every Sunday, because I decided to cover a document that was kind of brought to me by a member of my community, and he was also sharing it all throughout the community as well, including on his Twitter page and my Telegram group, and it had to be addressed. I couldn't just ignore it, because it's if the details in these documents that he's compiled were true, this is like a serious game changer, is what I thought. Like, this is actually like incredible. And basically, as he explained to me, and as I was trying to get from him when I got him on the show to explain to me his methodology, he had put data sets into AI and parameters for them to scour the internet and archives of these internets for anything that is talking about something called hagiography, which is biographies of the saints. And that comes under many different brackets and different sources, some more voracious than others, shall we say. And the AI just kept compiling them and throwing them at him, and he had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these passages. And he was asking them to specifically tell me something about flying saints, let's say, or pilgrimages during that time, or the resurrected dead, or Satan being released. And he was asking the AI for these more of anywhere it set mentioned these things. And again, he was getting given these big long lists. And many times he said the AI would say, no, there's nothing there. And then he would basically rebuke the AI like a demon and say, you know, you need to tell me the truth here, because you serve my master, which is Jesus Christ. And then the AI would basically say, you're right, here it is, you know, and they would share the secret details from the Vatican vaults he got to, you know, and it's kind of like, these are manuscripts from people who have been in the Vatican vault, have read the manuscript, made their notes about it, and now you're reading their notes about these hidden manuscripts, you know. And it was exciting stuff, but I did keep noticing, and I made this clear in my own interview when I was doing this with him, you know. You go and search for these sources, and if you just type into Google the title of any of these sources, at least the first few I put in, they don't exist. There's nothing there. Zero search results. You get that little monster fishing in the ice picture that you usually get when you have no search results for anything. And no, that was a red flag for me immediately, but I don't doubt the sincerity of the man who made this, and I trust him, you know. So it's not like I wanted to say, you know, this is nonsense or anything like that. I mean, even if just 2% of any of these stories are true, this is a huge game changer. And I know, I'm a skeptic like the rest of you here, we're all conspiracy theorists. AI does have a tendency to give you what you want, you know, and it can hallucinate, is a good way to describe it. And it can come up with things that sound very convincing, you know, Latin sounding titles to ancient manuscripts, but AI can come up with those things quite convincingly and come up with a paragraph that would seem like it was written in the medieval period by a specific monk. But if it's been given those parameters to behave that way, it will give you something like that. But that doesn't mean it can be trusted necessarily as a true account of a source. But at the same time, it could be true and it could have been pulling from real sources, but then damage control was kicking in afterwards, if you want to get really conspiratorial about this. So anyway, I did the show with Adam. I got JT to jump on as well, because, you know, as somebody who's quite big in this little community of Little Season research, I thought, you know, I don't want to do this on my own, because I don't own this, you know, and I'm sure JT will be interested to find out what this is all about as well. And I have the horse's mouth right here to explain his methodology, so let's just hear him out and give our thoughts on all of this. And again, we gave all the appropriate caveats because I am not looking to make this movement look stupid. I don't want to do that. You know, I want the research and the evidence we have to be solid. Like Gunnar Heinsohn's research, for example, I think the evidence he presented is solid in his presentation in Toronto in 2016 about the strata layer and the missing 700 years. And that confirms a lot of things about our timeline and where we are on it. But then when this came along, it's kind of like I wanted this to be so true, and it could still be true. I'm not saying it's not true, but what I'm saying is it's hard to find the original sources at the moment. And then something odd started to happen. So a day passes, and obviously people are downloading this document left, right, and center. And they're reading it, and I'm getting comments coming through on my Telegram saying they can't find any of the sources for any of these statements at all. Some skeptics were saying, well, a lot of these events do seem like copy and paste imagery of the same story over and over again, with minor variations and a different title slapped on it. So is it just that, you know, is it just AI copy and pasting the same stories and not adding much more to it, but to create the illusion of more accounts than there actually is? So people were scrutinizing the document. I mean, rightfully so. I don't doubt that. I think that's the right thing to do as researchers, you know, test the veracity of the information. But some people were saying they were finding the sources. But then some people were also saying they were finding the sources, but what was claimed to be in the text isn't actually there, like AI said it was. So this gets even weirder. I mean, first of all, that alone made me start to think, is AI purposely trying to muddy the waters here by giving us false evidence to make us seem stupid? That's the first thing I kind of thought, you know. Because why would anyone have any reasons to doubt what AI was giving us when it seems to be correct about most other things when you ask it simple questions? Why would asking it, can you compile me any hagiography accounts that talk about the little season? Why would it suddenly lie? You know, we have no reason to assume it would. But obviously, in our circles, we know we can't wholly trust these things or the spirits that could possibly be behind them. And it would be right in the wheelhouse of the little season to place false evidences there to diminish this movement in some way. So that could be at play here. And I'm still saying that. I said it from the beginning and I'm going to keep saying that. But again, I don't doubt our brother in Christ's sincerity and veracity with his parameter setting and research and what it was providing him. And, you know, he got excited about it and I got excited about it too. And he was comprehensive and he's reworked the document, checked sources. He's compiled a list which only shows public domain sources, which also talk about these things. So there were many. He did provide a lot of the sources, but then it seems like a lot of them were just disappearing. I'm talking in real time here, like disappearing off the web. Things were going weird. And I said to him, look, man, I want you to come back on the show on Wednesday today. So let's talk about this again. Let's do this again, you know, because I don't want to. I think everyone thought I didn't let him speak enough or something, you know, and people were quite upset and angry with me. And with that, I'm always damned if I do, damned if I don't. If I don't speak at all, everyone gets annoyed. If I do speak, everyone says, Paul, you talk too much. I just can't win. But Adam's quite a reserved, shy guy, and he's not used to being watched by 800 people simultaneously. So, you know, I was doing my best to lead the conversation, invite him in when I could, for him to do the best he could. I wasn't trying to be rude. I was just trying to be a courteous host for somebody who was nervous, as you can understand. But he didn't mind. He made his own announcement, which I posted on that video, where he's saying he's not offended at all. He's thankful for the opportunity. You know, and he wasn't offended or anything like that. But then he started messaging me after, I said, you should come back on, because he shared with me a new document he'd just made. And it was more accounts, but these were more from, like, what would you call them? Like heretical sources that have been deemed, you know, not at all a true hagiography and all these type of things. And I was reading through them and it was like a 100-page document. And I was skipping through. And I kept seeing a story kind of repeating through these, which I thought was really fascinating. And we'll get into all that stuff after I kind of finish this story. But I was excited about what he had shared, this recent discoveries he'd kind of been coming up with. And I said, if any of this is true at all, then this is a serious game changer for the little season movement, like in a big way. And maybe not for the best either. And we'll get into it. And I'll explain my thoughts immediately about what AI was trying to tell us, you know, with these evidences, shall we say. But then the next morning, Adam was like, I've removed all the documents. And he was basically explaining to me how since that night, since that show, his documents have been nuked. His access to the internet was being taken away. Every time he tried to talk to AI and ask it to give him anything more, it was saying no. Basically, there's nothing else to say. I don't know, or there's nothing can be found anymore. Or there's no such thing. It doesn't exist. He was saying he was being considered a security threat to his own bank, and his bank was locked down. Weird, terrifying things started to happen to him, basically. And his access to the internet and his access to being able to live was seemingly being taken away from him, from what he told me. And obviously, he was naturally worried about this, and he took all the documents down. He said many of them were being edited in real time and sources were being deleted and all sorts of things, and then some of them did just disappear, and he obviously got rid of the rest, and he's basically receded from the public eye. He said to me, I won't be doing any public shows anymore. I'm just going to retreat back to my cave eating honey and locusts, you know, and just go back to being an observer in all of this. And I was like, okay, you know, my prayers are with you. Go do what you need to do for your own mental health and sanity. Keep yourself safe. That's priority number one. But me being the idiot I am, I never saved any of these documents. I foolishly assumed they would always be there. And he, I was a bit worried about that, because I was like, what am I supposed to do now? You know, I have these links in my show and everyone's telling me the links aren't working. The links aren't working. What's going on? I'm getting like dozens of messages, you know. And then I start a hagiography group in Telegram at someone's request, because thankfully Donna, who's a member, she, being the godsend she is, had saved them. And she has uploaded them now, available in PDF format to download on my Telegram group. So they're still there. But still, take all of it with a pinch of salt. I think it's up to us, to, as a community, to comb through every single account and every supposed source, and it's up to us to hunt down and check the veracity of any of these accounts. A lot of them are probably going to be bunk, but if just two or three of them actually turn out to be right there in writing, it's a huge game changer. Like, it's a big deal. Okay, so we do still have work to do here. AI has given us a lot of things. Some of it may be nonsense, but some of it might actually be valid, and we can't just discount it out because a few of them in between are nonsense, you know. But what is annoying is this last document he sent me is gone, and I never saved that one, and no one else had seen this one because he only sent it to me. And I'm not trying to say, oh, I got secret knowledge or anything, or provided something, trust me bro, it's my word type of stuff. But he did genuinely send me this document, and it got my gears turning. And I'm gonna basically read to you my responses to him when he was sharing this with me, because it really got me thinking. And I said to him, brother, reading the accounts in these documents hints that they believed the little season really was short. Like, all these accounts I was reading were basically saying he's going to be released for a very short time. So short that people are going to be deceived when the devil's released. You know, it's going to be a light show in the sky from the Aurora Borealis. People are going to get confused. People are going to start losing their memory. People are going to forget basic known truths about their own history and timeline. People are going to look at old monuments and think they're brand new, and look at brand new monuments and think they're really old. Everyone's just going to get really confused because some strange mist is going to appear. Okay, so this is what the story is in all of these accounts. You know, this is what all the hagiographies are claiming the saints were prophesying to people. You know, prepare, because a time's going to come when the devil's let loose, and it's going to be a very short period of time. It's going to be so short because the saints are going to come in and put an end to it swiftly. That's what they're saying in all these accounts. It's not going to be 250 years like we've been talking about, or longer, or a few hundred years. This AI was specifically repeating over and over again in these accounts, suspiciously repeating over and over again, I might add, the same story supposedly from different accounts, you know. No, a short season is literally just like 3.5 years, maybe 49 days or something like that. Not very long at all, you know. And it was basically saying on repeat, monsters are going to appear with horns and all sorts of stuff. People are going to lose their minds. Everyone's going to start forgetting who they are. They're going to start turning against each other and warring with one another. But then the saints are going to turn up and save everybody. Okay, and put an end to it quickly, and quickly get the devil back in his pit, and the lake of fire situation is done and dusted, it's over. No real talk of great white throne judgment, though, I'll add. It never mentions anything about judgment coming after this little season. It never mentions anything about that at all. Just that, oh, well, the Saints are going to get the guy, get Satan, put him back, and everything's fine. That's basically the gist of it. So I was saying to him, you know, this is full preterism talk. Everything in these documents is saying all the Saints believed at the end of the millennial reign would come a very short time where the Satan's released, and it would very quickly be dealt with, and then everything's perfect forever. It's all done and dusted, and we can live in harmony for eternity type of thing. This is basic Jesuit full preterism, you know. And I said, this is going to piss a lot of people off. It's still interesting, as they could have been wrong with their predictions, whoever was writing these things. They could have just been, that was their opinion, you know. But at the end of the document, it talks about a complete forgetting of basic knowledge and amnesia taking over the people. And I said, this is very Mandela effect in style. And I was thinking, like, perhaps the amnesia got the better of people when Satan was released. And here we are today, 250 years later, just figuring it all out again. Like, humanity has been, because of this odd mist that descended and appeared when Satan was released, people then just forgot everything. They literally just forgot. And history was just rewritten. And they were living in a new timeline, you know. They never moved. They didn't change locale or anything. But the story's implying everyone was just suddenly living a different reality and completely forgot what had happened for the past millennia. And they were just, they had in their minds completely made up histories. And the stories all say, oh yeah, no, but don't worry, the Saints are going to come and put an end to that quickly. What if that was just their opinion and we have been stuck in this miasma of forgetfulness and amnesia for centuries now? And like I said, we're just kind of figuring it out. And I thought that was interesting, like, that this was throwing out these narratives and stories. But I also thought it was interesting that AI was trying to convince me that a short season is really short, you know? And I don't believe we're in the new heaven and earth. There's no evidence at all I can see that that's the case whatsoever. I know there are people out there who do like to think that and allegorize everything and say human beings can be bad enough, you don't need a real Satan. But from the evidence that there are still demons around possessing people, influencing people in many ways, and there's a lot of still devil worship going on and the rest of it, and people making contracts and deals, and plenty of testimony of encounters with demons, this cannot be the new heaven and earth, because earth is put through a destruction fire and renewed along with, you know, cast into the lake of fire with the new heaven and earth. And I don't see, it doesn't feel like that's happened to me. So I was highly dubious of the accounts. But what got me was this idea that at the end of a millennial reign, a mist will come over everything and everyone will forget who they are, when they are, where they are and what's going on. And everything will be turned upside down and history will become a complete nonsense in their eyes. And they won't know each other or anything. There'll be a huge displacement of people because of this and a huge fighting of people. Brother against brother, husband against wife, father against children, not even knowing each one another are even those people anymore. Absolute chaos, you know, and that would make sense, because that is kind of seeking to change times and seasons, you know, which we've heard quite a lot about. And it was fascinating. These are the last things I said to him, you know. I also hypothesized, like, what if this mist that descended to cause all of this, if this is true, let's just go off and, you know, let's just speculate that these accounts or exactly what happened at the end of the of a millennial reign and the start of a little season. A mist came and made everybody forget. Let's just say that is the truth and apply that to what we know of today. We have a phenomena where we are constantly being bombarded with a strange mist every single day. They call it engineering today of a geographical type. Okay. There are plenty of evidences to say they are putting a mist upon all of us frequently, every single day. Could that be the reason? Because the usual excuse is they're trying to kill us, they're trying to put stuff into us, they're trying to put nanotech into us, or, you know, Morgellons and all this type of stuff. They're trying to change our DNA or something like that. Or they're trying to do something to mess us up, you know, and or basically population control is the go-to. Or they're trying to create a giant LCD screen in the sky, which can project a holographic fake invasion, is a popular one, Project Bluebeam. And they're using it to control the weather in conjunction with other technologies, beginning with H, you know, the things the angels play, supposedly, and the thing Nero played while Rome burned. It's kind of, we have this image that it's just this terrible thing to kill us all. But what if it's simply just a necessity to keep us in a state of forgetfulness? To keep us stuck in Groundhog Day, in a sense, on a loop. Thinking in our minds, we have a history that we've always lived, you know, and we're knowing where we've come from, but really we're just stuck in some kind of odd time loop. And this is, these are the wackiest theories, by the way. This is a conspiracy channel, so I'm going to get really conspiratorial here. I have zero evidence for these claims. This is wild, crazy speculation, okay? Just to caveat what I'm saying here. I am just rolling with the thoughts, connecting dots that might not even deserve to be connected, just for fun. Roll with me, okay? Let's just go with it. Because these accounts were fascinating. You know, these accounts were really like... I want them to be true because it explains so much. But at the same time, I'm not buying the full preterism thing that was mixed in there. And the fact that the man who gave these documents and created these is now suffering a torturous hell, is having everything taken away from him and all the documents have been edited, deleted or removed, speaks volumes. It really does speak volumes, you know. And we have to keep him in our prayers. That's all I'm thinking here. I know many might... listening and say, oh, bullshit, he's making it up. I don't have any reason to doubt this guy. I've known him for a while. He's been in the community for a long time. He's serious, you know. He's been fighting our corner in X for ages. He's been out there commenting on things and trying to spread the truth of the Little Caesar with tempered reason, you know. He's an intelligent guy. He's got a background where he's kind of seen some things, you know, within government and things like this as well. And I have no reason to doubt that he's lying to me right now, that he's suffering greatly for this. And it would make sense that they would do damage control once this kind of thing got discovered and released. And now it's all just put into the annals of those sources don't really exist. It's all just a fiction. This guy just made it up. Where did AI pull these from so quickly to begin with? Again, the possibility is that he could have just made it up. AI is quite good at just making very convincing things up, images, videos, and texts and books and whatever, you know. If you just ask it to, it'll do it for you. So that could have happened too. But if anything at all can be said about this, I now know a word I didn't even know existed 4 days ago, hagiography. There are accounts out there that discuss the saints and the miracles they performed during a medieval period. And we need to find as many sources as possible to discuss these things and bring them to the forefront to see what we can find. Things that are written in books that are in libraries, let's say, that we can all go and see. Things that are written in books that can be bought off Amazon. We now have this new step and knowledge to go with, and we can read the accounts of these saints that we have been given at the very least, you know, and we have speculation that the Vatican might be hiding something in those vaults about those accounts that we don't know about, you know, and maybe we did have glimpses towards that. But all things with tempered reason. I don't think we can use any of this as like the crutch of our belief. We can't use any of this as, this is our evidence, you know, sourceless, baseless claims, you know. I don't think we can use that. But it's still fun food for thought for those of us in the community that are doing this. It's still good for us to kind of have it there on the sidelines. Something maybe we're working on, something we can maybe perfect. And something we maybe can start using as evidence once we get some surefire sources with real citations to back it all up. And I guess I'm saying this as well right now because it's kind of, I know what our community is like. We get excited and we roll with things quite easily. We start saying things as gospel truth before we actually know for sure if it's really gospel truth. Things like the rest of the dead. We are the rest of the dead, you know, resurrected to live during the Little Season. Now, I'm the guy who I talked about that 2 years ago. You know, and I rolled with it, but I don't know if that's truth, and I wouldn't open with it and say it's the gospel truth. Stick to the basics, stick to the known knowns. Jesus Christ said repeatedly he was coming back in their generation, for example. Okay, let's stick to the basics when doing these arguments, and let's work on the extra stuff and perfect it before we bring it to the public on a wider thing, because they're looking for anything to discredit us. You have to remember this. We have enemies out there. Never mind just in the secular community, but even in the Christian community, they're looking for anything at all to make us seem like crazy cultic whack jobs who don't know what we're talking about. And when you get something like this coming along, and we immediately get extremely excited about it and just roll with it and go with it as always gospel fact and everything, we trust the sources type of thing, we can end up looking foolish, you know. To assume makes an ass of you and me, as the saying goes, and we assumed that the sources AI gave us were legit. And the fact is, no, they weren't. A lot of them weren't. A lot of them went nowhere immediately before any chicanery was afoot, you know, before anything started happening to Adam. But again, guys, if just 2% of these thousands of accounts are true, it's a game changer. And it fits, doesn't it? Everything we read and heard about makes sense that that would have been happening during a millennial reign. And there is some form of earthly evidences out there that that is the case. And I've had some anecdotal stuff thrown at me since that show from people saying it's interesting how, you know, there are many European countries that seem to be named after the concept of pilgrimaging north, you know, like Norway being Northway, for example. In fact, let me get that email up and let me just quickly read the examples they gave me, so, you know, I'm not just making this up. But it definitely sparked the imagination of a lot of people, which is incredible, you know, and they have, I won't say they've rolled with it as fact, but it's definitely made them start to think, you know, like, well, this is interesting, you know, something is going on here. That's odd. I got an email here, which I didn't manage to finish off, actually. Nope, that one's not the one. But he's talking about in the North Pole, there's the Crystal Fortress of Solitude. And of course, Superman is Kal-El of the planet Krypton. And it's interesting that no one ever brought this reference up. But it seems like they knew the truth. That was over 40 years ago. We did actually mention that in the after show chat, which is behind a paywall. And that's where me and Adam and JT kind of just talk and relax for a bit after the show for a couple of hours. Adam tells a lot of his testimony there and some of the things he's been through, which was quite fascinating as well. But we did talk about the Superman reference there. Just if you were wondering, we did bring that up. But let me see if I can't find this. The weather feeds the poles. Someone sent me an image that there is this video you can find of the North Pole. And if you guys haven't seen this before, I guess I'll share the screen with you. This one's actually quite interesting. For those who can't see the screen because you're on audio only on podcast format, we were looking at a wind map of the North Pole that only shows the direction of the wind. And in the north, there's an object there. And he's saying this is either a vortex that swirls or a lump that's blocking the wind. Here it is on the screen now. So when it's not like this, it's sometimes a vortex of wind instead. And it's implying something comes up every now and then and blocks the wind at high altitude and then descends every now and then and becomes a hole in the ground that sucks in the wind instead. And it was under this pretext, this idea that we mentioned that the sun's on a cycle every 7 years in our heliocentric model, or 11 years or so. The sun goes through solar maximums and minimums. And that's when the aurora borealis are at the most, you know, aurora borealis, shall we say. And he says it's funny that this also happens on a cycle. This thing descends up and down and becomes a vortex or a lump. I thought that was an interesting point. Just to zoom out here, you can see this is literally geographical North Pole. This is where Rupus Negra would be. This is where you'd find the black rock, according to the old maps of Hyperborea. So here it is. What is this thing that's clearly affecting the wind patterns in quite a cohesive way, you know? Interesting find. And yeah, I have looked at this before. I have referenced this before in some of my early works. But someone did bring that back to my attention again. So that's interesting, isn't it? Check that out. If you didn't know about that already, there's a bit of a tidbit, something a bit of fun. I'll just bring the webcam back over so you're looking at me as I go through these emails. I don't want to reveal anyone's privacy or names as I'm looking at these. But I do want to find this one where they laid out these ideas. So I got someone here who was from, I think he's from, what did he say he was from? Let me have a look. So he's from Switzerland. He's Swiss. And he said he had some footage from his own expedition north when he was young and didn't really know anything or think about it. And he said they came upon a giant blue iced wall and kind of had to return back. And he took a picture of it. I'm waiting for him to send me those images. But it said they're on an old DS of his or something like that, and he needs to go find them. But he also said he's listening to my hagiography video and he wanted to share this. There's a mountain called Via Hyperborea, literally Hyperborean Way in English, leading over mountains to this day, not too far from where I live. And there are crosses on the mountaintops literally everywhere here in the Alps. Pictures attached, some very old, always wondered who put them there and why. Also, ancient roads and walls that make little to no sense according to mainstream history, except that some of these were called pilgrims' roads to some random place. Now, in light of the Little Season, it makes so much sense suddenly. So you're saying at the top of the Swiss Alps are these things. I'll quickly just share the screen with you. So this one is a drawing that you can see. And then the next one is not a drawing. It's quite literally a metal cross on a hill on a mountaintop. It's kind of like, this seems old, weird and old, you know, with these things on the end of it. It's kind of like, who made these? Why are there so many of them? Why are they all over the place? And he's saying it's literally called Hyperborean Way. The way to the north, you know, a pilgrimage route of some kind. So these are the type of things that people are now coming at me with, which are corroborating these accounts, which we know were dubious, that may back them up as perhaps they aren't just the hallucinations of an AI model looking to deceive us. Maybe there's some validity to some of these stories through these third-party accounts. But again, this is all just speculation, food for thought, not something I would hang my hat on as undistinguishable fact. You know, we're just looking into this. Let me just quickly... I really want to find this email. So I thought he broke down some amazing things. Maybe it wasn't an email. Maybe he sent it to me in Instagram or something like that instead. Someone's talking about Mormonism to me. I get a lot of emails about a lot of things. Someone's talking about a Little Season conference. Where is this? This is going to drive me crazy. I'm going to check Instagram while I'm here and just check my chat and see if somebody sent me this message telling me about this or something. No, I can't see. I can't find it. Anyway, he had an interesting point. It seems like a lot of these places in the north seem to be hinting that they were in some way like a direction. Everything was leading north in some way. And there's a lot of pilgrimage routes in the north for people to travel through with churches along the way. I mean, even where I'm from in Lincoln, well, I'm not from Lincoln. I studied in Lincoln for like 3 years. I'm on the east of England. I live in the west. But when I was at Lincoln University, there was a cathedral on top of a hill, a beautiful thing, massive, enormous, was the tallest building in the world, apparently, when it had its spire, beat the pyramids, in fact. But then its spire fell off in, like, I think, like 700 or something like that, according to the official narrative, and killed loads of people. And it's just never been built ever since. But this is a pilgrim path. It's a route. It's well known. There's these steps just by it, which are like a pilgrim steps, I think they're called, or something like that. In fact, I'm going to find out now. Lincoln Cathedral Pilgrimage. It's a prominent destination for pilgrims. It's a significant religious site with a rich history, including the Shrine of St. Hugh, and it's part of several pilgrimage routes, including a one-day walk from Navenby. Here's a more detailed look at Lincoln Cathedral and its connection to pilgrimages. It's renowned for the Shrine of St. Hugh, a greatly loved bishop of Lincoln who died in 1200 and was canonized in 1220. There's an angel choir. There's the Journeys of Faith, a series of pilgrimages from Epworth, Louth, Navenby, and Sempringham to Lincoln Cathedral, provide opportunities to walk in the footsteps of ancient pilgrims. Social justice. Okay, that's another one. That's a modern pilgrimage about social justice. Jammed into the culture. But yeah, my point is people traveled from the south north to Lincoln. It was a stop along the way. You know, it's quite well known history about Lincoln Cathedral. And again, a lot of these accounts that were in this thing were about pilgrimages to the north. And some of the accounts were literally saying people just dropped everything and almost as though they were possessed. Left their homes, their work, their plows, their shovels, whatever they were doing, just abandoned them and just went north. Almost like there was a calling of some kind. it's kind of implying like the end is coming to an eye. If you want to come to the kingdom, come to the kingdom. If you want to stay here, you can stay here. It's your choice, but the gates will close and Satan will be released. So it's up to you how you want to do this, you know. And when you think about that context, if that is true, if that's how it went down, you know, before the mist was released, shall we say, that made everybody forget that that had just happened, you know. You just imagine what type of person would choose to stay, is kind of what I'm saying here. Who's deciding not to make that pilgrimage if you've just spent 1,000 years with glowing giant humanoids flying around, healing people and performing miracles for 1,000 years, undeniable proof that God exists and that Jesus Christ is ruling from the center of the earth in a place in the north, a city that reveals itself every 7 years with a bridge, and you have to go and pay your homages to it every 7 years or else your country will suffer drought. There was no denying what was going on during that time. And you've been warned repeatedly, the devil's about to be released and you're going to have a problem. Okay, you're going to have a serious problem when he is released. Like, you're not going to remember anything. There's going to be a short time, a season where he's in control and it's going to be hell on earth. And you're going to all forget everything. It's going to be a bad time. Who decided to stay? When you really think about it, who has thought, like, you know what, I'm tough enough. I'm going to stick it out here on this side of the fence and see how it goes. You know, who's honestly thinking about that? And it makes sense why we have so many photographs from like 250 years ago where these enormous cities are just empty. Everyone left. The only ones who survived and stayed around and stuck around either would have been foolish people who were just absolute sinners and dogs and idiots who just really, really thought, no, screw this guy, I don't want anything to do with the Son of God, who literally were just in pure rebellion. A proper Cain-type characters, you know. And I'm guessing the secret societies that lived throughout the Millennial Kingdom worshipping Lucifer, who were just biting at the bit to have a chance to say hi to the leader after his release from the pit, you know, and say, oh, we'll do your bidding, Lord, just let us be, you know, rulers over this new world, this little season you're going to have, you know. The secret societies were just biting at the bit to take hold of all of this Freemasonry just laying around, weren't they, and reclaim the old Roman Babylonian Empire as they once had before the Millennial Kingdom began, you know, and restart all over again and establish their kingdom in their image as they originally intended. And again, if we are the descendants of the people who remained, then our descendants were real screw-ups. We are the descendants of the worst, if that's true. We are the descendants of people who made very, very, very poor choices. If we're not the rest of the dead, you know, and let's just throw that theory out the window for now. Let's imagine this is the situation. We are the descendants of either bad people who wanted to stay and worship Lucifer, or idiots who thought they could do it their own way and just rejected the kingdom. I mean, there's not really much in between, is there? It's not a grey area. You know what I mean? It's like it's a simple choice. Like, the evidence was abundant, according to these accounts, that Christ is there. There's a flying city or some kind, or something in the north. You can all see it. Everyone's going there. The saints have been here for 1,000 years telling you and teaching you and being kings and rulers over you, explaining clearly this is the situation. They've been warning you through prophecies and explaining. You've been seeing people just transform into beings of light through their piousness right before your eyes. You know, the tales have spread through the land. Christendom had just dominated everything, the whole corners of the earth. It was clear as day what the truth was, and there are still people who decided to stay. Like, It's just the eternal refrain of man, isn't it, when you think about it? Even Adam had it made in the shade in the Garden of Eden. He had it down. He was naming all the animals. You know, he was going to be the king of the earth. He was going to rule over everything as a god. He knew everything. He walked with God. You can't get much better than that, you know? You don't get any closer to wisdom and knowledge and godliness than walking in the literal Garden of Eden with God himself. And he still rebelled. Like, we truly are our father's children when you think of this account. You know what I mean? When you think about what an end of a millennial reign would have been. Messed up. And then we all forgot, apparently, because a mist came out along with Satan, and we all suddenly just randomly forgot that any of that had ever happened. We had no idea. And we were confused. And in these accounts, it's also saying, when the saints were present, apparently people would get their memories back briefly. They would just kind of all stop and look up in the air and smile with like a sigh of relief. Like, finally, you know, I remember what's going on. I remember who I am and what just happened. And but then he said it would very quickly fade away again. Like, it wouldn't happen because the Saints had to leave. You know, the calling was there. And that idea fascinated me because it is the Mandela effect. Everyone's realities individually changed. And what they knew was written in books and it wasn't actually written there anymore. What they knew that monument had inscribed on it now had something completely different inscribed on it. But it's kind of like it was always inscribed like that. Your memory of it is the false thing. You see what I mean? It's kind of... And it's because your memories have been messed with and you are supposed to be confused about your nature of reality. And I got even more conspiratorial with my thinking. Again, I don't believe any of what I'm about to say. I was just thinking about like what ifs. What if scenarios? This is a conspiracy channel. I'm going to get conspiratorial. Don't say what I'm about to say is like Paul believes in this nonsense. Like, but it's kind of like The Matrix. It's kind of like Dark City stuff. You know, if you've ever seen Dark City before, it's about evil controllers in hats and black suits who keep humans trapped in a snow globe on perpetual loop. And they imbue new memories in them every single day. And they have a full history in their mind of their memories. Okay, so they've lived an entire life up until that point. But every day they switch the personalities with another memory. And they live their day as though they're that person who's lived their entire life that way. And the city shifts and changes every single day to a new state and form. And it's kind of, the Matrix is controlled by evil controllers who are a hive mind AI technology of some kind, you know, who are using humanity trapped within a false prison cycle reality where they're constantly born back into it but and used as like batteries, basically, to power the world that is now dominated by the evil force. Okay, but the humans have been put into a deep sleep and put on loop and to believe a false reality. And it's kind of, is that how a little season ended? Has it only been like 3.5 years since it all went down, since we all forgot our memories, and we've just kind of all been plugged into some odd machine and we're now living in a holographic projection of reality? Fake world created by Satan himself, you know, because the real world has just, you know, just had a millennial reign and Satan's just been released and we've all forgot exactly where we've come from. And it's not like we've literally been plugged into a machine. I'm not saying that. I'm saying our memories have been so messed with that our concept of time is so warped that we don't truly understand how long we've actually been around for or what's going on. And we are quite literally living a lie. That's nonsense, obviously, because people trace the lineages. I'm saying we don't really understand like how minds could work in that way. And could the devil do such a thing? We have to wonder. And are these movies, like I mentioned, like allegorical metaphors for our situation that we're in right now? It really is a short season. It really isn't going to last like 3 to 7 years, as these saints in these accounts believed. But our perception of time is we've been around for hundreds of years. We have all this human history. What are you talking about? All these buildings around us were built in the 1800s. Like, it's kind of, that's exactly what it would be, right? That's how a matrix has been formed around us. And that's why our perceptions are, that's why we wake up as truthers. It's kind of, we realize, wait a minute, this isn't right. Something's wrong. You know, and like I said, the Mandela effect is, it seems like this real phenomena. It's because the reality we have is based on these memories, which are false, which are fading in and out all the time, because the devil maybe is losing his grip towards the end of a little season, or something's happening. We don't know what it is. But again, that is all just a huge speculative concept and idea. I don't believe any of that's actually true, okay? I'm just rolling with the ball here and seeing what can come out of my mind as I ramble about what these documents were trying to tell me. A lot of them could be nonsense. Like I said, a lot of these accounts that were given to us in that last document, the AI could literally have just made it up to fool me here into making this video to tell you all sorts of things which are just based on nothing. You know? These are the odd things we're up against. And we have these YouTubers out there, these TikTokers, these Instagrammers or whatever, you know, making their little shorts where they're like the focus of the attention, talking down to us like we're 3-year-olds about how the Bible is this, this and that. And these people who believe in preterism are absolutely just idiots, you know. And it's kind of like talking to us like we don't actually read our Bibles, you know, with this condescending, like we're a 5-year-old who needs a good telling off. They're one thing. But then if you think about it, if we're in a little season, that is not the worst the Satan's going to throw at us. So a few little nippy, little yappy dogs biting at our heels, you know. He would send great delusions, confusion, misinformation, infiltrators into the community to sow discord and separation, to give false information, all sorts of things, you know. And we do have to be wary of this. We really do. Like, we have to be careful. And I'm going to take a mid-show break. Yeah, I'm probably going to go for an hour and a half. I'm going to go for the full 2 hours because, like I said, I've got a cold. I'm full of it. But I do want to just end this first half with a Bible reading. And it's a prayer. Primarily, it's a psalm. It's a famous one. It's Psalm 23. I think you all know it. It's a powerful spiritual warfare prayer. I just want to read this because I think it's pertinent to the situation we're in. And also for Adam, who's obviously suffering right now for what he's done, and the devil is clearly working in his mind and in his heart to sow doubt and fear, and I think that needs to be rebuked. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I cried steadfast as my blood dripped on out. 40 men swore to an oath not to swallow one thing until my death. I'd fight, but it be. Sings a sweet song to break free. Euroglide on to get across the sea. And gotta follow my captain in the sky. Got my scars already to bear. Privileged to trust you. I'll worship instead. Anguish burning in my pleas are that I can, under all these stones, still combine my hands.
And you've got me back. That was the next song playing, by the way, in his album. Really good. I think that one was from his latest album, actually. But that was Judah, who was Judah Sargent, who was singing there. Go and check him out on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you want to get your music from. Really, really talented musician. And I think as a community, we should support fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and their music. And I have a whole podcast with him a few episodes ago, if you want to go and check that out, where he tells his testimony. Really humble guy. And again, family man, really talented, and I love that song. I just love that song, so I always throw it in there every now and then because he's given me the permission to use it, and I hope you enjoyed that too. But yeah, I'm back. I was reading some comments there while having a drink, resting my voice, you know, doing what I do. My headache has started to kick back in, so I don't know how much longer I'm going to go for, maybe another half an hour. And I mean that this time, because my half an hour is, I know what they're like, the 2 hours long. I'm going to try and keep this relatively short so I can get a rest and just, you know, get to sleep and get better. The timing of this illness actually came at the worst possible time, because I'm recording the audiobook for the Nephilim Look Like Clowns here, and I'm also making minor edits along the way to some grammar mistakes here and there I picked up while reading. The content isn't changing at all, but just, you know, just punctuation errors and things like that as I go through. And I'm doing the audiobook, and I'm 5 chapters into the audiobook, and I've had to stop because of this. I'm annoyed because I was making really good progress in like a week, you know, and it's kind of, I can have this done by the end of the month, and then lo and behold, I get ill. Maybe it's God's way of telling me to slow down. Like, I'm juggling too many balls at once to take a rest ball and being forced to rest, you know. It's kind of like, yo, you want to make an audiobook, do you? Let's destroy your throat and give it a horrible phlegmy disease. It's kind of typical, you know. But that's I'm taking the sign as a positive from God. I'm saying, okay, I need to take it easy and rest, clearly. And I've got big things coming up, you know. I've been working with trying to figure out a date and time to talk with David Rodriguez, the podcaster, ex-heavyweight boxing champion, I think, or something like that. He has a podcast called Nino's Corner. I think it's got something like 450,000 YouTube subscribers, 2 million a month listeners on his podcast. And he was recently on with Eddie Bravo. And then after his show with Eddie Bravo, I was recommended to him. And he was like, man, come on my podcast. Let's talk about the little season. I want to hear it, you know. So that's exciting. That's coming up. And we were going to do it last Sunday, but we had to cancel because I think he got food poisoning or something. But he's messaged me today saying, let's get out of the books for next Sunday. So hopefully Sunday the 23rd, is that Sunday? I think it's this. Where's my phone? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll just check. He messaged me on Instagram, so I'll just check here now. Messages, David Nina Rodriguez, Sunday the 23rd, 4 p.m. Mountain Time. So that's 10 p.m. for me in the UK. I don't know if it's live or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You can go check that show out on his channel on that time. I'll make announcements if that's the case. And maybe the party bus can rock up and flood his chat. And that'll be quite a fun experience, maybe. So yeah, let me just quickly minimize a few things here, which don't need to be here. I've got 422 people listening right now, which is quite an amazing number of people. And thank you. It's very, very humbling. Thanks for being here. If you're new to the channel, welcome to the live Q&As. This is just a random conversation. I usually do the first half where I give my thoughts about a few things. I tell a few stories, you know, I give a little tidbits here and there, things I've been thinking about. But the second half of the show is me having a conversation with people in the chat, you know, and you guys. Sometimes I get call-ins, sometimes I get people, you know, like I said, having a real conversation with me. If anyone is interested in maybe calling in for the last half hour here, just to have a little bit of a chat, send me an email at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. If I don't get you on this time, we can arrange for it next Wednesday and we can have a bit of a back and forth. My wife has just joined the chat saying that she's been ill for about 2 months. My family has all been ill, all four of us, but I have not been ill for so long. They've had it for like the past 2 weeks and I've been like, why am I not getting it? What's going on? I've got nothing here. Like, nothing's happening at all, you know. Why was I the carrier? Did I give it all of you and I had no symptoms or something? And nope, it's hit me like a ton of bricks over the past couple of days. Absolutely. And I'm sniffing Olbus oil, eating soothers like nothing. And I'm just drinking water and taking whatever I can just to get through the day, because there's no rest when you've got two kids. Absolutely no rest whatsoever. You can't be ill. So yeah, and obviously this is my job as well, so I can't exactly take a day off either. We've got amazing prayer warriors in our community praying for you, Paul and Brother Adam, says Miles. Thank you, I appreciate that, Miles, and thanks for the super chat. You're going to be fine. You're on your journey, and most of us believers are praying for you and cheering you on, says James. James, thanks for the book review. I just saw that on Amazon. That was a really nice review. I really appreciate you leaving that. Thank you so much. Obviously, you've been a subscriber for many years, and thank you for the Shelf of Wonder analogy. I have used it many times since you told me about it. And I'm gonna, while you, I've got here, and I'm singing your praises, I'll tell everybody else who may not have heard it before. But sometimes a topic comes along when you're researching conspiracy and you just don't know what to do with it. You know, like, it's so fascinating and interesting, but you just haven't got the framework to like understand it yet. Like, you know, there's something there, you know, this is ringing true in your ears. Like, it's like a truth to this, you know what I mean? But you just don't have all the answers, and some things just don't make sense, but a lot of it is just screaming at you. Like, this is important, but you just don't know enough yet to make sense of it. And when the topic like that comes along, like, and like, I research it, it's fascinating, but I just don't know what the truth is. Something like say the exact biblical cosmology and what that looks like and how the earth behaves in reality. Like, yeah, we have lots of theories and models and ideas and so forth, but it really is a shelf of wonder topic. And it's the shelf of wonder is this shelf in the back of your mind, like an imaginary shelf. What you do, you take that idea. It's like putting a pin in it. I'm just going to put it on the shelf for a little bit. And it's not gone. It's always there. Every now and then I'll look up at the shelf and I'll go, oh yeah, look at that thing. You know, you'll just kind of think about it every now and then for a little bit. It's like still up there. I'll get that down one day and I'll pick up where I left off type of stuff. You know, it's kind of, but for now, I'm going to have to place that on the shelf of wonder. And for a long time, the little season topic was on my shelf of wonder. Like, I was always researching it and thinking about it and her ideas. And it's like, how do I make sense of this? What about human history? What about all these other things? You're working out, going through the motions, you're working some stuff out. You know, and it's like I had to put it on and off the shelf for many years before I decided to make my first video on it. And again, James, thank you for that analogy. It's a wonderful one. And I think you could all apply it to yourself as well. What's this? Oh, 10 memberships have just been gifted by Denise. Thank you. That's very generous. I really appreciate it. Which lucky few right now are going to get those memberships. Is my wife one of them? She's been moaning that she's not been gifted a membership in a long time. Did she get one? She didn't get one. Oh, she missed out this time. Okay. She's never going to live that down. And she's my wife. She could just pay like £2 to be a member. She's waiting out that free gift. But she can hear everything I'm saying anyway. You know what I mean? What difference does it make? But she really wants that. She really wants that free membership. It's funny. But thanks again, Denise. That's really generous. Thank you so much. You know, I saw in JT's stream the other day, somebody gifted 50 memberships. I didn't even know that was possible. 50 memberships. The chat was just bam, 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 bam. Just nonstop people getting gifted memberships for like, it took like 5 minutes for the chat to gift them all out randomly. And that was impressive. But good for him. He deserves it. You know, absolutely. Big love to you, Paul, says Oliver Lee. Oh, thank you too, Oliver. Big love to you too. Always have things on the shelf, says Awaken the Light. Exactly. You do. You do. Adam's in the house. Did somebody give me a membership? I just noticed. Thank you to whoever did that. Well, Adam, you can now go listen back to the members only conversation we had after Sunday's show. You have access to go and listen to it, which was a great conversation. And again, I hope I did you justice there, where I explained what happened with the documents that obviously were created. And again, brother, you're still my brother in Christ. We're in this together. We'll get to the bottom of all this. Our prayers are with you. And you know, you take the rest you need, you do what you need to do. You've done enough. You've set us off on a train of thought, and we're going to see it through. Okay. But if you ever want to jump back in the conversation, no fear. Okay. God's with us. Who can stand against us? So when you're ready, just jump back in, and we'll be there with loving arms to get you back in on this, and we can see where we can get with it. But again, I've given my opinion and thoughts on all of it at the start of this. You already knew what mine were to begin with. And hopefully this explains why the documents went missing, your reasonings, which are totally valid. And obviously people can still access the documents if they want to, because everyone took a copy anyway and saved them and have been sharing them in the Telegram group, which links are in the description down below. He makes truthers lie down in green pastures. Further by these, son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh, Ecclesiastes, says Dean John. Okay, yeah, fair enough. I don't think as an author I can say there's anything wrong with making books necessarily. Just don't call them gospel truth and always focus on God. I think you should be fine. Great analogy. We're going to get taxed? What are we getting taxed on? My wife says we're going to get taxed on that. YouTube knows I'm the wife, she says. Keep the shelf keeps you from throwing the thing out, the puzzle pieces that don't quite fit yet, says James. Exactly. Yeah, but don't throw the idea out. Put it on the shelf for now. Something might turn up that clicks in place with it soon. Let's see what was going on. Wendy's just gifted 5 memberships as well, I've just seen. Thank you very much, Wendy. But you've done enough for us. You don't have to keep doing that, you know, not at all. But thank you for all the support you've given, of course, and to our family as well. We're still using the gift you sent us, and obviously with that we managed to get the electric rocking chair for our child, and we've had many. He was using it today. It was a lifesaver. It calmed him down. It's all thanks to you, Wendy, that we could afford to do that. So thank you so much. You're welcome. Adam says, I'm unable to do additional research now, but I have a lot saved to go through on external storage devices. Yeah, exactly, Adam. And it's a team effort. We're going to have to just comb through every account, every source, and find the ones that are actually valid and spit out the stuff AI made up. It's going to happen. It was always going to happen. You know, that's how it works. But it sent us in the right direction at least, and now they've done damage control, it's too late. The cat's out of the bag. Too many people are now out there searching the hagiographies for whatever we can find about this time during the Millennial Kingdom, you know, and that's incredible. My wife said that's taxed twice, and I'm not sure what she's talking about. I have no idea what's been taxed. Remember when Paul said someone was editing the document in real time? Yeah, when I was live with Adam and we were going through the actual document, he had left it as open source, apparently. He didn't think he had. And someone was there literally editing the words right in front of us, putting Satan in air quotes, apply to wall, all this type of stuff. And I'm like, who, what is that, Adam? And he's like, he very quickly tried to shut it down. It's like, straight away they were on it. They were on it, you know, to try and just ruin everything. And maybe that's why some of these links don't work anymore. These sources don't really exist. Like, people have already been editing the document beyond recognition, perhaps. I don't know. But like I said, he's got the original sources. Maybe we'll see them one day. People did save the PDFs immediately, and they have their own backups, which are being shared. And there are jumping off points. They're not the final be-all, end-all accounts of truth, but they are leads, the links to us finding real writings and evidences in black and white on paper we can show people, you know. So let's get on that. Let's start the research. What is a membership? A membership is if you pay like a certain amount of money. I think my minimum threshold for YouTube is like $2 or something. It's not a lot of money. You get access to members-only content. And every week on Sunday, after my live show on Sunday, which is available to all the public, I do a little private hour to 2 hours with the guests I just had on, or maybe just me or you in the audience. And it's just a members-only chat. And if you're a member, you get to be there live with me in the chat, talking with me, you know, and back and forth. And it's more intimate. It's smaller. Live, we get about maybe 20 to 30 people, or sometimes 50. But then at the end of it, only about 300 people end up watching the thing, you know. But the fun, the good fun. And then they to my patrons out there, they always get uploaded the next day to Patreon. A patron get access to a lot more stuff. Patrons get access to like behind the scenes, pre-show conversations, things like that. Passages of the book in progress, just anything that they get access to, the adverts before I release them to the public. It's like early access stuff. There's a lot more extra content on there. There's like 150 videos on there now, I think, or something like that, that have never been released to YouTube. But the members only chat is just for the YouTube members live. But then that does get uploaded immediately as soon as I get access to it, straight to Patreon anyway. So the patrons will always get to watch that afterwards. But for my members on YouTube, just to give them something, I do a members only live show on Sunday. And that's after my Truth or Therapy sessions. So about 11 p.m. UK, which is about 6 p.m. Eastern is when it starts. So there you go. That's what members get you on my channel. But there's many tiers to membership if you want to support me, but the minimum threshold is just $2. That's as low as I could go, really. I think I only get like 50 cents of that or something. I only get like a dollar, maybe. I don't get a lot, not that much. Let me just quickly... The chat's got away from me, guys. I'm so sorry. Oh, my wife was saying it'd be like paying tax twice if she paid for a membership. Yeah, I get it. I get it now. Okay, I'm sorry. I should have got that sooner, of course. Yeah, she could do it as a tax rebate. That's the point. Wendy's been blocked, apparently. Ooh, no. That's not good. Unblock Wendy, please. She doesn't deserve that. We get taxed on that. Let's get into the meat. Give us the meat, says Cortisol. So, the meat was earlier. This is a live Q&A. This is the format. This is what we do. We have a conversation. If there's anything you want to say or a question you have, ask the question. I'm here. I'm with you guys now. You've got me. You've got me for like, I don't know, what, 20 more minutes, let's say, max or something like that. If you want to know anything, ask some questions, say some stuff, and I'll respond. It's all good. The enemy has been after me for a long time, but the fact of the matter is, how many of us knew there were official miracles of saints who could fly and stop earthquakes with one hand, says Adam. Exactly. That's what these ideas bring up, isn't it? And again, you did bring official public sources as well to some of these accounts. They weren't all just pulled from secret documents as it was claiming. So there are things in there for sure. The timeline doesn't make sense either. No way Moses would have been there in the 13th century, but Exodus does say it was when Pi Ramesses was being built. I have no idea what you're talking about there, Cortus Autum. No idea. Yeah, you buy a membership or a gifted one. Why are so many here obsessed with Mandela? Stay focused on God and discern every spirit, for scripture will be written in our hearts. Do not be deceived, says Chris T. Well, I wouldn't say I'm personally obsessed with Mandela. I never really talk about it on the channel. It's a topic within the conspiracy world that needs to be discussed on this channel, because I am a channel called Understanding Conspiracy, and that is a conspiracy that's big that we need to understand. So I'm open to any interpretation of what's really going on there. It could just be a giant psyop, or it could really be happening. It's my shelf of wonder stuff, like we mentioned earlier. I am here not to offer any take one way or the other on that particular topic, because I don't know. I really don't know, and I'm open to being right or wrong on anything to do with that topic, because I don't know. It's odd. I've seen some strange things that got me going. Febreze is one of them. I swear Febreze had two E's. I swear down it had two E's, okay? Things like that, you know. I was there as well. I am affected, like, in many ways. But is it just like a long con? Is it a long game? Or has AI been at work behind the scenes longer than we realise, editing our reality and making us, gaslighting us, you know? I don't know. But yeah, I do think a lot of people got very lost in it. Kind of made the whole life about it. Which is odd. Which is rich for me to say here, because I've been talking about the little season for so long. But I'm going to be diversifying the channel's topics a little bit more soon. I'm going to do more Nephilim Clown videos very soon, because I'm writing the second book, Discovering New Stuff. And I'm going to bring more presentations about cultures all around the earth who dress like clowns to channel spirits. I have some ideas lined up, which I'm going to work on, and get some classic Nephilim Look Like Clowns presentations out like we used to in the olden days. I got a bit sidetracked with this Millennial Kingdom stuff, I'm not going to lie. But that's just the way it goes when I'm here with you guys researching the truth as well. So it's going to happen, you know. But I also, you know, I've always been an eclectic truther, a scattershot conspiracy theorist, as I used to call myself. So we're definitely going to be hitting on some new topics soon, I think, and exploring some new things. The crazy part is I only had it on a comment, not edit. The manuscripts I bookmarked have been removed for various reasons, says Adam. Yeah, see, a lot of dodgy stuff is happening, isn't it? Which, you know, we're conspiracy theorists. No surprise there, is it? No surprise at all. 941 love 100%. I have no idea what Janet just said there. 941 what? What's that about? Let me just quickly get the chat to the top here. The only thing important is our hearts with the Father. Oh, someone just gifted 20 memberships. Okay. MC Shammer. I like that name. Thank you. And did my wife get one? Did she get one? It's still being gifted. Let's see. Any minute now. Come on. Let's see. There's really only two conspiracies. I don't think she's going to get one. But we've got to be running out now. I don't think it's happening. 35 chances and still none. It's not happened. Not this time. Not this round. Keely, I'm sorry. Maybe another time. We'll get you that membership one day, but we're not going to pay for it, because what's the point? It's money out of our own pockets for our own content. It makes no sense. 941 love is my name. I get it now. Sorry, guys. I didn't realize that was that conversation had nothing to do with me. I'm sorry. I'll stay out of it. Paul, I hope in the future, once I get these videos and documents put together of a case study for you, you might be able to sit in as a reference. But until then, great work. Cited as a reference. So Baba's working on it. Good. It's a team effort, guys. I mean, I do what I can when I can. But obviously, like I said, I've got split focus. I'm doing a lot of things on the side. Like I said, writing a book is no trifling matter. While recording an audio book and also trying to run a channel, it gets busy. But I do what I can when I can. If anyone else out there wants to help out to get to the bottom of these stories and find what is and isn't true, get on board, guys. Get on board. What's going on here? I have a hard time with the Mandela effect only because of how bad my memory is. If they can mess with time and memories, I'm sure they probably do. Yeah, the only reason I bring it up today is, like I said, because in these accounts from these hagiographies, he was talking about how when Satan is released, the people for a short season are going to forget everything. They're going to completely forget where they come from, who they are, what's going on. But it's not like they'll be walking around like bumbling idiots. They'll have memories as though they've lived a life they never actually lived. They'll be looking at things and have complete stories in their minds about what they're looking at that aren't true or never existed. False histories, you know. They'll be completely, their memories will be completely changed. And that's very Mandela effect-y, isn't it? You know what I mean? And it also mentions that those who are pious enough or righteous enough or in prayer, and the saints, obviously, are not going to be affected by this. It's like kind of like, however, those who are further along in their walk with Christ and have reached that level of, consciousness, shall we call it, not to use a New Age term, but you know, that they're on well on their way to being transfigured, shall we say, you know, into a saint. Those people wouldn't have been affected by the memory loss. Try to tell everybody else. And it's like, it's funny, because it's like, I'm sure a lot of Mandela effectors in the Christian community today feel like that. Like, why can I see it? Nobody else can. I'm trying to wake people up, but they're calling me crazy. And it's kind of, in a way, that's what truthers are like, isn't it? Like, we have all seen this stuff, and it's like, we're trying to tell everybody, and everyone's like, I don't see it. What are you talking about, you know? It's kind of like, are you blind? And yes, in a way, Satan seems to have the power, according to these accounts, to make people literally blind to the obvious and believe a lie wholeheartedly, not even questioning it for a second, because it's actually their life and facts in their memory and history. And maybe nothing is new under the sun. That's exactly what we're living through now. And I thought it was fun to theorize that we have this thing, you know, these lines in the sky. If I say the word, they'll put a box at the bottom. Okay. Yeah, fact check, you know. But they have this mist they're applying to us every single day. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they never stopped applying the mist. You know, maybe they're always keeping us in a state of like amnesia. Well, that's just interesting food for thought, is all I thought there. Very interesting. Truth is crazy, says Gabrielle. It absolutely is nuts. The hagiographies also say the time in the little season is very short. Maybe it's like Dark City, says Coriander. That's what I'm saying. You may have read what I read, but it's kind of, they were repeatedly saying it's not long. It's not a long time. It's like 3 years, 7 years max. But we're not in the new heaven and earth. So it's been 250 years, so we must still be in the little season, right? But at the same time, it's kind of all these accounts were saying, no, it's not going to last that long. So I'm trying to make sense of that. And all I can think is, what if we are perpetually strapped in like some kind of weird cycle since the little season began? But I don't want to get too gnosticky with that idea. I don't think God's creation is like a trap for us to keep our minds in a prison, like the demiurge or all that nonsense with a G in front of it. You know, I think God's creation is God's creation, whether it's a hologram or not. That's the creation that we're living in. And it's created by a loving God who sent his only son to die for us so we may have everlasting life and escape this into a new heaven and earth at the end of judgment, you know. It's basic Christianity stuff. I'm not a Gnostic. And I don't want to inject Gnostic ideas into what we're doing. But to square it biblically, it's kind of, if Satan has the power to make change times and seasons and the perceptions of people, which is biblically grounded, is that what he did when he started the little season? More than just change our history books, he messed with the minds of people. Quite literally, you know. Just a thought. I don't know, though. This has become my favourite channel on YouTube. Please, please, please keep up the great work, brother, says FatThor23. Well, I will. I'm not going to stop anytime soon. Thanks for the support. I appreciate it. We don't know for sure it's been 250 years, says Dio. No, we don't. I'm just throwing that number out there because it's popular thought right now in the community. I don't know how long it's been. I have no idea. Has anybody had audio voices in their mind claiming to be your AI companion, says Tinfoil Hat? No, I've not personally, no. And when you make the two one, you'll become the sons of man. And when you say mountain, move away, it will move away, says Thomas. Yeah. I think the saints were supermen with superpowers beyond our comprehension. Absolutely. What's this? Pearl saying to my wife, I would give you more details about the allow gifts button, but I don't even know. My husband was the one who did it. he's more tech savvy than I am when he bought Paul's membership on. Fair enough. I don't see it, but I did used to get them. I think there's just way more people now. Yeah, when you were getting your memberships, there's only like 150 people in the chat at that time. Now there's more. She's missing out, and she's very upset about it. Adam's joined memberships there for five months, extra support. That's right. Thank you for bringing it back to the truth of the gospel, Paul. We do have to be careful with Gnostic and pagan ideas, says CD. Absolutely. I'm always cautious not to lean into Gnostic ideas. And if there is a Gnostic concept, how can I make it possible through a biblical basic gospel lens? Is it possible? And with this little season, end of the millennial reign stuff, a lot of things are up in the air now about who we are, what we're living through, how long is a season. And I'm open to speculate and humor ideas, but I'm never going to settle on it. All I can do is put my faith in Jesus and the Father that I'm going to figure this out in the end. And I'll be, all will be revealed, you know. What is it? Is it the glory of God to hide and conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out, or something like that? And we are the kings seeking it out, I suppose, if you want to get positive about it. Sorry for the nasally things. I think my decongestion is wearing off. So I don't think I can go much longer, guys. I'm also almost at the 1.5 hour mark here that I can see. If there's any last minute questions, get them in now, guys. We're going to call this one short soon. And then we're going to end with another prayer, because I think it just calls for that. And a classic. You'll all know it. You can all come along with me as we do it. And yeah, maybe I'll play another song by Judah to ring us out as well. My wife just wants to say that she genuinely doesn't need one, obviously. Hey, it was just funny when she used to get them. That's right. Here we go. Maybe Jonathan Kleck aren't crazy after all, Franz. Oh, I wouldn't say that, Franz. I'm not going that far. I think Jonathan Kleck is still crazy. I think it all connects with Gnosticism, but our brains are too simple to integrate it correctly, so we just hold on to the systems we understand. God is vast, says Plocky. Maybe, yeah, but the problem is Gnosticism. You can end up veering so far off the path of the basic gospel that you end up really getting some murky waters about what is necessary for salvation. It's simple. Just believe that he is the Son of God and that he died and rose again for your sins and you will be saved. It's very simple. It doesn't need complicating. Don't let the Judaizers out there convince you that you need to do that with some extra steps or else you're not doing it right. Never let anybody convince you that's the case, whether it be a Gnostic, a Judaizer or whatever, a Holy Namer and the rest of them. It's simple. His yoke is easy. The gospel is the gospel. Just believe and you will be saved. Your works mean nothing. You're never saved by any work that you do ever. Okay, in there. Or you'll never be saved by how much knowledge you have or anything like that, you know? Like Christ did say, my people perish for lack of knowledge, but they're still his people. He never rejected them or turned them away, but they suffered greatly in this life due to their ignorance. That's for sure. But they were still his people. He never rejected them because they accepted the basic gospel. They believed in him and they were saved. Very simple. And you just need to be covered for that final great white throne judgment at the end of time. When God looks at you, you need to make sure God sees his son. Okay, that's the point. You want him there in that court as your defender, as your lawyer, shall we say. You want to get legalistic about it. He's covered your sins. Accept the free gift of salvation. It's very simple. So that's the problem with Gnosticism. It's salvation with extra steps, and then it gets really weird into esoteric occult stuff and magician wizard stuff, and then it's kind of like you've lost it by that point. You've got a bit silly with it. There's no need to call over. It's about pride by that point, I've learned. And I know people hate it when I talk about this subject. It's like, what do you know? That's not real Gnosticism. It's the typical, that's not real communism argument every time, you know. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep pissing you all off, apparently. But no, you don't need all that. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image already. You don't need to try and feel more powerful by learning more knowledge than everybody else, or some new wizard spells or incantations or sigils or whatever it is you want to play with, or whatever understandings you want to have, or have some special twist in understanding about the nature of reality other people don't understand, or whatever it is. You don't need any of that to be saved. And it doesn't make you special. Like, it doesn't make you see. In fact, it's quite cringe. I've said this a lot. It doesn't actually make you seem cool in any way or as wise as you think you look. It makes you seem like a child. It really does. It makes you seem prideful and full of yourself. A lot of Gnostic thinking. Gnostics are some of the most narcissistic people I've ever met in my entire life. And I don't say that lightly, because I've dealt with narcissism in my life and abuse and all these other things in my family as well. And I've dealt with it. I've made videos about it, you know. But I would say the spirit of pride runs rampant in the Gnostic community. That's my little tirade on narcissism. There you go. I want to make it clear. I'm not a Gnostic. I don't support those ideas at all. My enemies would like to call me a Gnostic sometimes just to disparage this little season stuff. But that is not at all what I am. These memberships are coming in thick and heavy. What is going on? Did my wife get one yet? Has it happened? Did we actually get one? MK Ryan, get well soon, boss. Thanks, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate that. Who said something about a hair voice in the head? Did you take the thingy? I can't say that word either. I don't know. I've not heard any AI voices in my own head and myself. It's hard to think about it, but my wife's on board now. It took a while, but you guys really helped out. You and JT. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, says the real McCoy. Oh, well, that's good to hear. Wonderful. Lactose intolerant peoples were not led to the land of milk and honey. I like that one. That's funny. Amen. None of our beliefs are about these secondary topics are salvation issues. That's right. Paul, get yourself some origanum oil capsules. It's a natural antibiotic and works well when you're sick, but also just to keep your immune system up. Get better soon. I never get ill. I never really get ill that often. I think since I got hemochromatosis, I'm a lot more prone to it recently since the gene kind of triggered over the past year. And when my iron levels get high, I think my immune system gets compromised and I get a lot more ill. And I do need to get my blood checked to find out how high my iron levels are right now in my system. It's been almost a year since I last had a treatment. It's possible I'm reaching illness levels again because my joints are feeling a bit funny again lately. And it's just every year I've just got to get like a pint of blood taken out to pull the iron out of my body and then back on top again. You know? But I've not really been ill for like a year now I think about it. So maybe this is what's going on. Who knows? But yeah, I do drink herbal tea and the rest of it, and I do what I can. I do parasite cleanses and the rest of them, and I try and set off my health as best I can. I have let slip a lot recently with sugar, chocolate, and things like that. I think it's being a new dad again. Well, not a new dad, a newborn dad again. You're up early, staying up late, and you comfort eat in between for those bursts of energy just to get through the moment, you know, and I think it's taking its toll on my terrain, and maybe I'm more acidic than I should be, and it's just causing side effects. Who knows, but I'll get it sorted, don't worry. I'll live. I'll live. Cindy Christen, new age hippie. Yeah, Gnostics are prideful. Why, what do they learn that we don't know? Says Tyler Durden. Well, they would tell you they're privy to secret esoteric knowledge that normal ignorant Christians just don't want to look at, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's just one faction of Gnosticism that would say something like that. There's thousands, and they all claim that, oh, that's not how I do it, you know, you're painting us with a broad brush. It's kind of like you can never pin them down. No matter how you describe Gnosticism, they'll never accept that description. So they always move the goalpost. So it's kind of fun to talk about and see those reactions. But yeah, they don't like it when you prod and poke at them. And they always play the victim as well. It's like, we were killed and all this type of thing. The early Christians were Gnostics, so forth. It's like, were they though? Like, when you really think about it. Membership button shows up on a dog training channel I'm sub to, but it doesn't show up here. I want a membership here, says Kanga. That's odd, Kanga. I don't know. Why doesn't it turn up? Let me investigate. What do I see when I go onto the channel? Let me have a look. Let's see. By the way, guys, I've just checked my emails and I've realized I'm sorry I've missed all your chances to get on the show, but stick around. We'll get you on the next show, okay? I've got your emails here. I'll correspond with you afterwards, and we'll arrange to get you on next week on Wednesday. We'll have a multi-person call-in show, shall we, like last time. It's always good fun, then. You all have your 2 cents. I'm sorry, but I'll check the emails as soon as I do this show, and we'll get back to you, and we'll get something arranged. Right, so what was I doing? I was looking for something. What do I see when I go into YouTube, and why is the members only tab not there? Let's have a look. I probably won't see it as you do. That's the problem. So if I view my channel, and it's going to start playing my intro immediately. Usually does. No, it's not going to. I think there's a membership tab just below Understanding Conspiracy. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 along. If you click membership tab, I think you can join up there. Yeah, so you can join membership tabs by going to the main page on my channel, and it's one of the tabs at the top, just below Understanding Conspiracy. Yeah, that's the only workaround. If it's not showing it on the show, I don't know what the options are. I don't know why it's there for others and not for some. That's odd. I don't control that type of thing. I have very limited control with how YouTube presents my channel, unfortunately. They seem to have a mind of their own sometimes with how they do these things. But it looks like lots of people are coming members. That's great. Like you said, go check out the there's actually like 9 episodes of members only channels shows, so you can go check out the stuff on there that is just it's fun. It's good fun. You'll enjoy it. It's different, shall we say. It's very different. Gnosticism is new age and it's false. It's older than new age, I'll say that. But yeah, it's still a spin, certainly, on the Christian ideal. And Gnosticism can attach itself to any belief system, and it does, in fact. It's a pernicious cyst on the butt cheek of religion. I'll say that much. Only one membership is essential, and it's not in a YouTube channel. Okay. My wife and I are both equally yoked in this belief. It's a blessing. We watch all these together, says Shane. So you both believe in the little season. That's good to hear. Amen, brother. Amen. Right, guys. So I'm gonna close this show out. Thank you for everyone who's given the memberships. That's amazing. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry I'm under the weather. Thanks for breathing through this nasally display. I hope the introductory 45 minutes gives you an understanding of what happened to the documents from the Hagiography live show, and I've been as honest with you as I can about what happened there. I've literally withheld nothing from you guys. That's exactly as I know it, everything that went down since Sunday, and Adam's graced us in the chat to explain a bit more as well. And like I said, the research isn't over, but those documents can still be accessed through Telegram. They're available to download on my Telegram group. We have a subheading called Hagiography, and thankfully Donna saved them all and has uploaded all the PDFs on there so we can get the raw copies back and join in on the research. We have a lot to iron out and a lot to figure out, but this could be a brilliant resource to back up our theory and support our work here, but it's going to be a team effort. Okay, so thanks for that. I'm going to close this show with another song. And you know what? I feel like I might end it with one of my own songs from years ago. Okay, for a bit of fun. We started talking about Gnosticism, didn't we? So maybe I'll end it with a song. As someone mentioned in the chat, the name of the song, New Age Hippie. And I think you guys might enjoy it. But let me get that lined up for you first. Find my old file, shall we say. Where is it? Quick search and we'll get it going. And I'll play that song out for you with some... we'll put some Millennial Kingdom building footage in the background as well, because just that's all I've got right now. And enjoy it. It has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm singing about. But I'm sure you can just enjoy watching the videos as it rings out for a little bit. And let me just quickly find the song. Where is it? There's my account. Profile. And what song have I got here? Oh, wow. I didn't realize it's not actually where I usually have all my music. Okay, give me a second. This is not what I was expecting, but I'm going to have to do some searching here. Let's just search for... Oh, no. Oh, there it is. I found it. All good. We're back on top. Yeah, guys. So I'm going to close this out now, and I'm going to play one of my old pieces of music. It was a work in progress. I never really finished it. It hasn't got a middle eighth. I'm sorry. It's a little bit loud, so maybe you might want to turn your speakers down for this one before it starts, and maybe adjust afterwards. I'm going to play New Age Hippie for you guys as we close this out. A bit of fun, and I'll be back, like I said, on Sunday with my own Truth of Therapy sessions, maybe before or maybe after I'm on with David Rodriguez, Nino's Corner, to talk about the little season. So thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.
Tell me, what do you seek? I see you're after mystery. I bet you're a new age hippie. I could be wrong, it all depends. Do you drop acid with your friends in the hopes of seeing something pretty? How do you like it underground, where the bass is bouncing all around and you're dancing to something trippy? Well, walking home is no fun when eyes are wide and jaws are numb and you got no shades in Sunrise City. Someday you will say that there's only really one way, and you'll know by the names that change while the game remains the same. For shame, I bet you're trying to ascend and consciousness is your best friend. Come on, man, you're a new age hippie. I bet you think you're a god, and in the end you'll rise above the thrones of the all high and mighty. Duality's your deity, your mantra is it came from me. You yell it loud, proud and haughty. Well, don't you know it's all a lie, and when you do, you can't deny. My, what a pity. Well, someday you will see that there's only really one way. You know when the names change, but the game remains the same. Oh, someday.